I came this morning to speak to the children. Children, are you listening?
Yes.
Thank you, Regina. Children, are you listening?
Yes.
Good. That's great. Magic is fascinating to me. Have you ever seen a magician? I've seen some on TV. I've seen a few in person. But one of the things that is a quintessential trick, occasionally a magician will walk out onto stage and he has a hat and he lays it on the table and then he pulls things out of the hat. I've actually never seen a magician pull a rabbit out of a hat, but I've heard that they do that sometimes. Can you imagine a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat? That would be cool, wouldn't it? I'd want to hold the rabbit. I would. Or he waves his magic wand and he makes something disappear. I don't know how that works. It's magic. I've even seen magicians make people float in midair. Now, I know there's got to be strings attached somewhere. I don't know where, but it's magic. It's magic. It's very entertaining. You never know what's going to happen. I want to believe it's true, but I know it really is just a clever, clever trick. I only know one magic trick. Have I ever told you that? I only know one magic trick, and it involves a dollar bill. So if you will bring me a dollar bill, and no, I will not make it disappear. It's a different kind of magic trick than that. I will show you my magic trick someday. Now, if you have ever read in your Bible with such interest in the stories, you realize that there are things that are mysterious there. And those things in our Bibles are not called magic. No, those things in our Bible that are mysterious are the miracles that only God could do. Have you read about the miracles that are in the Scripture? Miracles are mysterious, but they are true things that God does to express His love and to fill us with hope. In the Old Testament, there's a story of Naaman, who was the commander of a large army in this area called Aram. And the king of Aram thought so much of Naaman. But Naaman was sick. In fact, Naaman had a disease that is called leprosy. And his skin had turned just so stark white. He was sick, and you could look at him and tell that he was sick. In fact, he had sores on his body, and people were feeling sorry for this man who had once been so strong and in charge of everything. He had a servant girl that worked in his house, and the servant girl really didn't speak to him so much, but the servant girl spoke to his wife and said, "The country where I'm from, there's a prophet there that I think can help Mr. Naaman." And so the wife told him, and they asked the king if Naaman could go to that country and see this prophet who was almost a miracle worker. Oh, come on. He was a miracle worker because God had made him that way. And they visited Elisha. Naaman came with his other servants that he commanded the army with, and they stood outside of Elisha's door. And he asked for Elisha's assistance. And you know what Elisha did? Elisha did not come out. Elisha sent a messenger to Naaman and told him to do something really strange. He said, He said, go down to the River Jordan and jump in it seven times. Now, that kind of sounds fun a little bit, doesn't it? Jump in the river seven times. But guess what Naaman did? Naaman got furious. He was so angry. And he was waving his hands and he was saying, no, don't tell me to do that. You think that we don't have good rivers in Aram? I'd much rather get in that water than in this water. But his friends around him, he said, listen, this is not that complicated. Do what Elisha is saying. And so Naaman, he went down to the water and he got in. Naaman got into the water, and guess what? Naaman's skin was made absolutely well. Every ounce of him, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all of the sores, all of the look that he was so sick, all of that was taken away, and it was a miracle that he was made well. And everybody was amazed. And Naaman was so thankful. He came back to Elisha's house and he said, I want to let you know that I believe there is no other God but your God. There is no other God but your God. And from that day on, Naaman loved this God of miracles. You know, that's the way miracles work, don't you? It's interesting. Did you see what was happening? Because God provided the miracle. But guess what? Naaman had something to do too, didn't he? He had a responsibility. There were two things. Okay, raise up your fist. All children, raise up your fist. And put one finger up. One finger. All right, the first thing is that God provides the miracle, right? Okay, but there's something else. Put your second finger up. Okay, got two fingers up, two fingers. The second thing is that we have a responsibility too. God provides, but we have a responsibility. You remember what Naaman's responsibility was? Go jump in the river. Go jump in the river. We always have a responsibility. That's the way it was with Jesus when he was performing miracles. Jesus didn't just do everything by himself. He required that other people do something too. Do you remember the man who was so crippled that he could not walk? And his friends took on the responsibility of bringing him to Jesus. When they couldn't get into the room, they crawled up on the roof. Have you ever heard this story? What did they do? They had to tear a hole in the roof, and they tied ropes to the little mat that the man was on, and they began to let him down into the room slowly, 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 until Jesus realized, oh, there's somebody coming in here. And they made room, and they lowered the man right down onto the floor in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed the man. But you know what? He gave the man instructions. You know what he said? He said, pick up your bed and walk. So the man had to do something. The friends had to do something. The man had to do something. And Jesus did the miracle of healing that man. Jesus was on the way to take care of somebody one day. And while he was walking through a very busy street, there was a woman who had been sick for 12 years who was in the crowd, and she reached up and touched the edge of his cloak. That's all she did, just touched the edge of his cloak. And in that minute, she was healed. And Jesus knew that she had done something. And he did something for her as well. That's the way miracles are. They always work that way. So here it is. Do you remember the story of the people who followed Jesus? Oh, thousands of people were following Jesus. And one evening, it was supper time, and the people were hungry, and the disciples were hungry, and the disciples said to Jesus, "Send them away so that they can go get supper in town." And Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Oh, let's think about this. You get them something to eat." And the disciples said, "If we had all the money, we couldn't buy them something to eat. There are too many of them." And Jesus said, "Have them all sit down. What have you got?" There was a boy close by who had how many fish? Two fish. And how many loaves of bread? Five loaves of bread. The little boy had two fish and five loaves of bread. And Jesus said, "It's enough." And he began to share this. And the disciples began to share it with the crowd. And you know what? After everybody ate, they even had leftovers. Is that a miracle or what? But get it. Put your hand up again, your fist. Number one thing to remember is that God provides the miracles. But number two is that we have a responsibility too. You remember he told the disciples, "You feed them. You feed them." Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to think about Jesus' miracles. From the very beginning, when Jesus called his disciples, he was teaching them that they were made for a miracle. He gathered them from all of their jobs, and he sent them out and gave them power and authority. In fact, he did that with the 12. He said, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, nor bread, nor money, nor even an extra tunic." Now, the picture that I have here, I want you to see this, because he sent them out. And I don't think they got the message about not taking the staff. They did take staffs in this picture. But they didn't have anything else, did they? But you see how busy they were? They were leaning forward to try to go out and do what Jesus wanted them to do. It's very important to remember that Jesus gave them power. In fact, Jesus, in the next chapter, it says that he sent 70 out, not just 12. And when they came back, it says here, "Lord, in your name, even the demons, all the evil in the world submitted to us." And Jesus said, "I watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven." What a beautiful thing that Jesus saw in their actions. Something that God was doing. How many of you remember the miracle of the rainbow? How many of you remember the miracle of the rainbow? You remember the miracle of Noah and how Noah finally, after that heavy, heavy rain, found dry ground, and then there was this rainbow in the sky, and God said, "I'll never make it rain quite like that again." And every time I see a rainbow nearly, I remember that story. Do you think about that when you see a rainbow? I hope so. Guess what? When I see lightning, I always think about this passage of Scripture where Jesus says to the disciples that came back and said, "These things that are going on are wonderful, that we have power over the demons." Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." When I see lightning, I think about what Jesus said. Of course, God does these miracles, but we have a responsibility too. And this is not magic. This is not some trick. He sends us out to care for those in need, to truly love people, and to give them hope, because we were made for a miracle. Jesus cared when people were hungry, when people were sick, when people were left out. Jesus cared about them. And that's why he invites everyone to his table. It really is, because he cares. And we do too, don't we? We do too.